love reading the stories of people like J.D. Crow and all the other banjo players, really, who say that they avidly watched the Flatt & Scruggs show on TV when it came on, and they just so listened to his playing and tried to play every lick, and he was such an influence on the bluegrass world. And yet, you know, he was almost out of it by about time that we really got interested in the late 1960s. So he went on to play some great music with his boys, which is the same thing as what I like to do now. And he played to much bigger audiences than he played to as a bluegrass musician. But we really miss those old days of some of their music, don't we? Another band that was very influential in my early days was the Country Gentlemen. Almost not so much just for the wonderful banjo playing that they always did, but their approach to the music, which was very similar to the approach that Hamilton County made, in the fact that we took songs from a lot of different places, and because we weren't playing to a specific bluegrass audience, we're playing to city audiences, folk audiences, and general entertainment type audiences, and we had to do songs that they identified with, and the Country Gentlemen typified that beautifully. And but the songs that they did as originals were classics, and Eddie Adcock had a particular sound to his banjo playing, in particular quite a harsh sound, very innovative, very inventive, like Don Reno's guitar chord work up and down the neck, and great singing always from Charlie Waller. So here's the Country Gentlemen from their 25th anniversary album doing the song Matterhorn.
We started out from Bern on sunny August morn. There was just the four of us against the Matterhorn. There was Albert the
Country Gentlemen were a fine band and always had a very innovative approach to their music. A very early album that I added to my bluegrass collection was one called Mountain Music Bluegrass Style, and this whole album was put together by Mike Seeger. It recorded people in and around the Washington, D.C. area. Some of the bands, not very well known. Many of them were part-time bands and very influential on the music that that we were trying to learn, really, and put our minds to it. And there's a song on this tune that Hamilton County did. It's actually part of a movie that was made about our band in the very early days, and we called the tune, Rabbit in the Log. Here they call it Feast Here Tonight, and it's done by Bob Baker and the Pike County Boys. It's an old Bill Charlie Munro tune. And in the movie, there's a film of us playing it, and we do it complete with a little dog yelps and everything else, as close as we could to the record. And in those days, we tried to copy things pretty closely, and we sang about digging a rabbit out of a hole, which is a strange thing to do. Bob Baker and the Pike County Boys were formed in 1955, and they played around the Baltimore area, and very much part-time people. Bob Baker on guitar and lead voice, Bob Shankland on mandolin, and Mike Seeger was playing banjo and doing some tenor singing in this one. And I don't know if I ever realised that, because I know that Del McCurry also played banjo for the Pike County Boys. Jimmy Greer on fiddle, and Billy Ray Baker, Bob's brother, on string bass, and Tex Logan on fiddle played it. Oh no, he's playing in the next tune as well. So this tune really influenced our early days, and if you want to, you can go onto YouTube and dial in Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, and it's just a movie that was made, and you'll see Feast Here Tonight on the show, and you'll get an idea of what I looked like when I was only about 20 years old. But here's the song, Feast Here Tonight, from Bob Baker and the Pike County Boys.
All right, here's another old-timer we like to do for you. We'd like to do it especially for all the little kids called Rabbit in the Log. Hey, Rabbit in the Log, it ain't got my dog. I will get him, I know. It'd be a bar out to dinner time. I will get him, I know.
We often used to play that tune. It was always good fun to play. We copied all those harmonies and the energy to the tune. And I said, that's what we liked about the music, is the energy that you could put into playing acoustic music. And it could stand as much inventiveness as you cared to put into the music. But you just needed to get the basics right. And you had a whole lot of fun. And we did that in the early days of Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, I tell you. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass, and this is me raving on about my early influences, and particularly on banjo. Mike Seeger was a big influence because he was the first real live bluegrass musician we'd seen when he came out to New Zealand in 1969, I think it was, and to one of the banjo pickers conventions, and we got to play music with him, and it was very, very exciting. And he taught us all sorts of things on banjo, but we'd already recorded that song by the time we met Mike. I'd like to do a big hello and thank you to all the people listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. Thanks for tuning in. You might be tuning in on one of the podcast methods, maybe Podbean or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or even Free FM, getting this show straight from them. There's a whole lot of back issues of the show lined up there, and you can listen to a whole lot of those. And all the people that are listening on the Access Radio programs throughout New Zealand, this show goes on half a dozen stations at different times of the day and night. And also in Canada, I got a lovely letter from listener in the eastern Atlantic states in Canada saying how much he enjoyed Back Porch Bluegrass. So he hears it, obviously hears that on a local radio station. Thanks very much for writing, and I really appreciate that. And Bluegrass Planet Radio in the States, I know a lot of you are listening on that, and the Southern Branch Bluegrass and Gospel Show in the States as well. Whenever I see something about Canada or the USA and bluegrass music, I often look up to find out where the places are, make sure I know where people are listening, and it's a thrill to know that the show is aired in all sorts of different places around the world. And thank you very much for enjoying this music along with me. The Dillards were a huge influence on early Hamilton County, particularly in performance, because we had their live Almost album, and we even borrowed their jokes in some cases, and we did their songs, and the whole approach to the music was in many ways based on the Dillards. Yeah, typical, and they suited us. We liked the young bands that were playing to a variety of audiences because they treated the music differently from maybe someone like Flatten Scruggs or Bill Monro would do, who played to a different type of audience. And the Dillards played to the same sort of audiences that we would, and we found out that their humour and their music style really worked. And here's a tune that features Bob... features Doug Dillard's great banjo playing. It's a Don Reno tune called Dixie Breakdown. Doug Dillard on banjo, Rodney Dillard on guitar, Dean Webb on mandolin, Mitch Jane on bass, and they do a fine version of Dixie Breakdown. It goes like this. he was such a good banjo player. I got to meet him in 2008 at IBMM celebrations at Owensboro in Kentucky, and it was such a thrill. Hamilton County got to go over there, and Doug and Rodney Dillard were there, and we talked to them both, and they were delighted to meet up with the people in New Zealand who played their music, and they're lovely people to talk to. I've got another tune to play off the Cody Norris Show album, brand new album. I just got it in the mail just 2 days ago, and the album's called Highfalutin' Hillbilly, and it's got some great material on them, and there's a song there that took my attention. Way back in 1990, I had the opportunity to take the family to the USA, and we rented a camper van and drove from our friend's place in Tampa, Florida, right up to Washington, D.C. And we had this camper van and four boys aged between 6 and 16. And there was a cassette player in the camper van. And we had a Ray Stevens cassette. And our boys listened to this cassette endlessly because it had some very funny songs on it. And I'm pretty sure this song was one of them. They learnt the words of just about all the Ray Stevens songs. And this particular one is a very funny story. I'm glad that the Cody Norris Show got on the album. It's one called the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. And this has got the lead vocal done by the banjo player Josiah. And here comes a Ray Stevens song by the Cody Norris Show, the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. Have a listen.
Well, when I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi to visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, freeze a song. One day I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoe box and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him into church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him off to my good buddy Hugh, and that squirrel got loose and went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, others thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, I surrender all. The squirrel run up Harb Newman's coveralls. Harb leapt to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yeah! A day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, and Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit with the loose. He fell to his knees pleading, begging that squirrel right out of his witch's leg unobserved to the other side of the room. Way on down the amen pew where sat Sister Bertha, better than you, had been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. You ought to seen the look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thigh, and she leapt to her feet and said, Lord, have mercy on me. As that squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess of sins that make a sailor blush with shame. She talked of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention is when she talked about her love life. And then she started naming names. The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, 7 deacons and a pastor got saved, and $25,000 was raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized whether we needed it or not. Now you've heard the Bible stories, I guess, how he parted the waters from Moses to pass all the miracles God has wrought in this old world. The one I remember till my dying days, how he put that church back on the narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. The day the squirrel went
at dessert in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah.
Oh, that's a great version of that tune. They did it really well. I'm glad that we don't have squirrels going to church over here in New Zealand. We could happen with the possum, I guess. That'd create a bit of havoc. We won't even think about that. Another banjo player and a band who had a big influence on my early music was Earl Taylor. And from the album Bluegrass Taylor Made, it was actually... Earl Taylor, Jim McCall and the Stony Mountain Boys. Earl Taylor on mandolin, Jim McCall on guitar, Walter Hensley on banjo, Vernon McIntyre on bass and Benny Martin on fiddle. And they did some classic bluegrass music on this album and some classic bluegrass tunes. And I loved Walter Hensley's banjo. Very straight ahead, kept going. It was real machine gun bullet type stuff. And here is the band doing, Earl Taylor and the band doing Jesse James with Walter Hensley on banjo. Loves his playing. Classic bluegrass music. That was the first band that we heard with the classic bluegrass lineup. They had mandolin, fiddle, banjo. They did three-part harmony with a middle lead, a high tenor, and a baritone part. And it was the first band we heard that actually performed like that. And we weren't sure whether you could have fiddle and mandolin in the same band, because we'd only ever heard Flat and Scruggs or the Dillards. And so all this stuff sort of did have a big influence on our music. I can't miss out the Stanley Brothers, favourite band. And we're getting near the end of the show now, and there's so many people whose music I should play, like Emerson and Waldron and the Osborne Brothers. Oh, listen to their music, and they all shaped how I play music. But the Stanley Brothers, I love their harmonies. I love Carter Stanley's voice. I still think he's one of the best ever bluegrass lead singers, and I just enjoyed their approach. And here they are doing their classic tune, How Mountain Girls Can Love. This will just about take us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for tuning in to Back Porch Bluegrass. I've really enjoyed revisiting my origins in bluegrass music and my influences and banjo players and the music, and hope you've enjoyed it along with me. How Mountain Girls Can Love. It's a great tune. We still do it with the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band.
Mic on CJSF 90.1 is where you can listen to fresh new releases from any genre, any day of the week. Visit cjsf.ca for the latest open mic schedule.
Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.